Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This troubled asset purchase program on its own is the single most effective thing we can do to help homeowners, the American people, and to stimulate our economy.
Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, as we get another view now on the bailout negotiations from Dan Cantor, co-chair of the Working Families Party here in New York. That's the influential labor union-based progressive party that often works with the Democrats. They want the bailout to include things like a bankruptcy shelter for homeowners, a ban on predatory lending, more home heating oil and unemployment insurance, and salary caps for all executives of companies that accept taxpayer bailout money. Hi, Dan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
You know, a lot of our callers and commenters, like a lot of other Americans, are relating to this whole thing as simply a bailout of Wall Street. We're told, though, that the basic bailout plan is as much about working families as it is about the banks. Here is presidential hopeful John McCain articulating that idea yesterday.
If we don't, credit will dry up with devastating consequences for our economy. People will no longer be able to buy homes, and their life savings will be at stake.
And we heard former Treasury Secretary O'Neill say something very similar a few minutes ago. So is the Working Families Party supporting the basic idea of the bailout as pro-working families?
No, I don't think that's a fair way to characterize our view. Senator McCain, you know, is just trying to stay out of trouble here because, of course, he is so associated with the policies that led to this, namely the whole deregulation mania that produced this thing. I mean, it strikes me that we should start by admitting the limits to our knowledge and Paulson and Bernanke's knowledge. They have no idea if this is going to work, right? We should all just be really clear on this. They said back in the spring, saving Bear Stearns, now we've got a grip on the capital markets. Then they said, oh, we've got to stop doing it. We'll let Lehman fail. Then 2 days later, oh, we can't let AIG fail, and so on. So we should all be very clear that the so-called masters of the universe who are going to make these decisions don't know what they're doing. So there is going to be some sort of bailout because the society requires it. There does need to be credit. The home mortgage bailout of Freddie and Fannie seems to have worked to a degree. Mortgage rates are holding steady. But if there's going to be a bailout, I think most sensible people would agree we ought to talk about the terms in a real way. And I think our view, and perhaps many of the listeners, is that if there's going to be public money invested in these private coffers, there ought to be some serious strings attached. It's not very complicated, right? We're saying we're going to give hundreds of billions of dollars. I mean, this is a lot of dough we're talking about. It's more than the Iraq war has cost. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. You remember, it's only slightly off topic, President Bush vetoed the S-CHIP, you know, health care for poor children, because it cost too much, $7 billion. So now we are at the $700 billion figure, and some people say it will go substantially higher, and they want this blank check. And that's just not going to stand. It's clear that Congress is not going to let that happen. So then you turn to what should the strings be? And it seems sensible people are saying the same thing. There needs to be some real help for homeowners. There needs to be equity stakes. If we're going to invest in these firms, the public, the taxpayers, need to own the firms, or at least some substantial share. And quite importantly, we need to say that if your firm is going to accept public dollars, we're not going to pay outrageous salaries. The drive towards these mega salaries is part of what has produced this entire problem. People just believe that they could take these mortgage instruments. Used to have an actual mortgage and a banker because you were going to buy a home. Then it became a way to make people rich. So 28-year-old traders could go buy $3,000 bottles of wine. We've all read these stories.
Right. Let me focus in on one of the strings, and we'll go through a couple of them. One of the strings that you said should be attached was also articulated, and we played a clip of Senator McCain. Here's a clip of Senator Obama articulating one of those strings yesterday.
We can ask taxpayers to make an investment in the stability of our economy, but we cannot ask them to hand their money over to Wall Street without some expectation of being made whole.
Being made whole. I think that's the ownership piece.
That's correct.
So how would that work? How would the government, how would the taxpayers wind up as stockholders or shareholders or, to-be-determined percentage owners of the banks? And isn't that even more fundamentally socialistic than the kind of bailout they're already talking about?
Well, I mean, the bailout that Paulson and Bernanke is talking about is socialism for the bankers, capitalism for everyone else. If we're going to invest public money, we ought to have some public ownership of these firms. If I'm not mistaken, this is exactly what happened with the AIG bailout. And the Fed, the public, owns 80%.
Government owns that now.
That,
that's right.
Of that firm. So this is not a novel idea. We own railroads. Mm-hmm. We own utilities. We try to hold these things in common. Why? Because when you put human beings around that kind of money, the temptation is too great. The reason they deregulated was because they didn't want any rules that would prevent them from skimming all the available cash into their pockets.
And do you go as far as to say how and how much and for how long?
I don't know. I'm no expert on this stuff. You know, smarter minds than ours are going to have to figure out the. But the basic principle is one I think that most Americans would agree on. If they are going to use taxpayer funds to prop up these private firms, then they need to be private-public firms. We can't just support the people who created the problem and say to them, yes, you've created this gigantic crisis for the whole society. And they did. It wasn't that, quote-unquote, the market produced it. Human beings are the ones that made these decisions that allowed this predatory lending, these fancy derivatives. You know all this stuff better than most. And we're simply saying, enough. We're going to re-regulate. We're going to have to ask people who really supped at luxury's table to pay back some of the money. They're going to have to raise taxes. I mean, this money is not going to come out of nowhere. Who are you going to raise taxes on? Senator Bernie Sanders has put out something around, you know, a surcharge of 10% on people over $1 million produces about half the cost of the bailout. Maybe that's an idea that ought to be on the table. The basic point here is it cannot be a blank check. Bernanke and Paulson are saying, well, there's a loaded gun on the table. If you don't do it our way, you're going to be responsible for greater problems.
Let me take a phone call for you. Jim in Sayreville, you're on WNYC with Dan Cantor from the Working Families Party.
Hey, good morning, Dan, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I had a comment is right to the heart of this whole scandal. You know, we saw this whole thing coming 3-4 years ago. I used to work for Countrywide as a mortgage loan officer.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, in my office, obviously this was when, you know, new homes were being built at such an incredible rate, and there was such a push to get everybody and anybody, if they were breathing and walking and had a paycheck, they could get into the house no matter what their future looked like, whether they're going to have the job a week, a month, a year down the road. Countrywide said, get them into the house. In my office, there were a couple, two, three employees that would do 30, 40, 50 mortgage loans each month with these types of loans.
Jim, was there a widespread sentiment among your colleagues that this was not sustainable?
It wasn't widespread, but I had a bad feeling about it. I couldn't put someone into a house who I knew or there was no future in repaying the loan, right. And there's only a handful of us. The rest of the people would do, like I said, 30, 40 of these loans, and they got into the monthly meeting with Angelo at the head of the office, and they'd be paraded in front of him, and they were heroes. And that, you know, we saw it coming. And
that's
so, here
so
we
interesting.
Are.
This guy is so smart, Brian. I mean, he's who should be testifying in Congress. I was thinking this morning, when I bought my first house, when I was 38 maybe, I remember we had this whole meeting. This is before this deregulation. Could we afford it? They asked us questions. And now I realize it didn't even occur to me. We bought another house about 6 or 7 years ago. Nobody asked us anything. So he's totally correct.
Yes, but as head of the Working Families Party, I don't know if you were involved in this personally or if the party was, but there was a push among progressives to get these kinds of loans available on a more widespread basis. Members of Congress who, we are told, look the other way at Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae with these kinds of things because there was such a push to get lower income, poorer people into home ownership.
Right, but the good programs, the programs run by groups like Acorn and others, always had home mortgage counselors, and the whole program was you had to make sure that people were capable and not getting in above their head. So I think it's unfair to say that the progressives, this is not a left versus right issue. This is top versus bottom, and the top is trying to, you know, having caused the problem is now trying to have us clean up their mess. So I would slightly rotate your view of how this developed. I'm sure there were some good, well-meaning people who got in too deep, but in the main, what happened here was when they deregulated and the Commodities Modernization Act and so on, they created all these fancy financial instruments that nobody understands. Mm-hmm. That's what we've all learned. All these smart guys, the smartest guys in the room, they don't have a clue.
That's why
Schumer and company are so important, but we'll get to that.
We're almost out of time, but let me get to one of your other main points, and that is the salary cap for executives of companies taking bailout money. How would that work, and how low a cap?
Well, there have been different views articulated. One is that if you take this money, nobody at the firm needs to earn more than $20,000 a week. That's $1 million a year. If you can't live on $20,000 a week, we can find executives who can. I noticed in David Brooks's column, he talked about they shouldn't get paid more than the President of the United States makes. That's even lower. That's about $400,000 a year.
Your cap is $1 million.
We're saying people, in fact, what we'd really like to do is cap it to what the people earn in the bottom of the firm. But we'd say $1 million would be a fine level. If you can't live on that, we will find a smart person to help us who can.
All right. And last thing, how much are the Democrats like Schumer and Clinton and Dodd and anyone else carrying your agenda to Washington, and how much do you, from the Working Families Party, judge them as inadequately representing?
Well, Schumer is the key, in our opinion. He is uniquely positioned. He's senior on Senate banking. He understands these issues. He has been one of the loudest voices articulating the need for conditions. So we are encouraging people to go to our website and send him a little message, try to make him even stronger. He's the guy, in our opinion, along with Senator Dodd in Connecticut, also in the listing area. These are the two leading people in Congress who are going to decide whether this is a blank check to Wall Street or a bailout with sensible strings attached that actually works for working and middle-class families.
Dan Cantor, co-chair of the Working Families Party. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.